Hot Spot, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of... Tonight, instead of being aboard a hospital ship in Charleston as planned, RoboCeltzer's Vox Pop is with the Merchant Marine in New York. So let's go now to the world-famous Siemens Church Institute of New York. And your two Vox Poppers, Fox Johnson and Warren Hull.
This is Fox Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull. And the hospital ship program scheduled for tonight is only postponed. Stormy weather has delayed its arrival. So we're going to do that program at first opportunity.
Tonight is the Merchant Marine, that great group of merchant seamen who transport men and munitions to the fighting front. Those men about whom General MacArthur said, they have brought us our lifeblood.
That's right, but come on, Park. Do you feel our way about it, fellas? Come on. Well, now, what do you say, Fox? Let's climb aboard, because I want folks to hear my Ancient Mariner.
Yes, sir, Warren. It won't be long before you can bring that Ancient Mariner up here. Folks, 28 years ago, at 14 years of age, he was an ordinary seaman on a British ship earning £1 a month. Today, he's a master, a ship's captain. He's married, has a son, 8, a little daughter, 6, and another one, 5, and he lives on Staten Island. We want you to know a man typical of the best in our merchant marine, Captain John Carnegie. You stay right in front of it, and I'll rest in the car. Don't worry. Yeah. Captain, do you come from a seafaring family?
No, I guess I'm the first to stock for a long time back.
Yes? How about your dad, Lee? He wasn't there.
My father was a soldier.
Uh-huh.
After the South African War, he joined the police force.
Down there in South Africa?
No, in Yorkshire, England, the West Riding.
Uh-huh.
I was born in the West Riding of Yorkshire in Harrogate, Yorkshire.
I see. Captain, and you married over here?
Yes, I married an American girl about 9 years ago.
Uh-huh, and you live in Staten Island, as
well? Yes, Staten Island.
Where are the folks over there here tonight?
Well, there's one here, and the rest are listening, I hope.
Yeah, they're all sitting up tonight.
Yeah,
you know that.
David's there.
Tell me, Captain, what line are you connected with?
I'm master of the Chester O. Swain, one of the Standard Oil ships of New Jersey. Standard Oil, New Jersey, one of the Esso ships.
That would be a tanker, of course.
Yes, just an old puddle jumper going around with a hull.
I bet it jumped a lot of puddles, too. Tell me, how long were you out on your last voyage?
I was away 13 months.
Mm-hmm, and, you just handled, of course, a number of cargoes. I guess you worked on the other side of it.
Yes, I was in the Mediterranean most of the time. In fact, I was in the Mediterranean about 11 months.
And you handled how many cargoes?
I handled 37 cargoes.
They tell me that old Standard Oil tanker that you had, the Chester O. Swain, made somewhat of a record on that voyage, did it?
I do believe she did. Well, we shifted just short of 135 million gallons of oil.
135 million gallons?
Yeah.
These men here, folks, know what that means.
With one crew.
With one crew?
With one crew. Don't forget, the boys hit the ball. One crew.
You mean 37 different cargoes and only one crew?
Only one crew. Yeah.
Captain, that takes somewhat of a skipper to do that.
I don't know. It takes cooperation. The boys scratch my back, as we say, and I scratch theirs. We hit the ball together, and we certainly move things.
From the sound of this, if I were going to sea, I'd certainly want your ship, Captain. Tell me, what does it take to make a good skipper?
Well, you bat around for a while. I batted around for 16 years before I got my license, my citizenship papers, and my license.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I'd be the kind of a skipper, the kind of a mate that I worked for instead of
Bullying
around. The other kind. There's one kind you work for harder when he's not there than when he is there.
Uh-huh.
I tried to be that kind.
You came up from the ranks and you should know. Captain, do you recall where you were Christmas?
Yes. Christmas last year, I was in Naples, Italy.
Did you have time for a Christmas party for the fellows?
We didn't have any party on board the ship.
Tell me about it, will you? The party.
Well, the gang came up there and they figured that seeing we're all a long way from home and there wasn't very much fun ashore, we'd carry some fun ashore.
Yeah?
So the crowd got together and we collected $310 in about 14 hours from the men. They all came up, $10, $15 at a clip. We piled ashore, 32 men in full uniform into a launch. with the week's supply of ice cream and cake.
Hmm.
And we went over to the local orphanage there and took the place over. It was quite a do. The youngsters, they sang for us and greeted us as we came in. And then we served the ice cream. We were about to leave, and one chap there, a young fella called Costa, as we were leaving, he was an oiler. He said, "Captain, the youngsters have sang for us. Couldn't we sing something for them?" I said, "Well, why not? But what does everyone know?" So he says, "Well, we all know the Star Spangled Banner."
And so you sang the good old Star Spangled Banner.
32 men stood up there and they sang it, and by God, they meant it.
I bet that was wonderful and inspiring. Captain, I want to close our interview on that. There were some other things I had in mind, but I think with that inspirational ending, we'd better pass on. And now from our sponsors, good old Bomo Salsa, some things for you and the family that we hope you like. So remember this, by tonight. For Ms. Carnegie, we've got a lovely navy blue lady's handbag or a purse, and tucked away in it somewhere is a folding umbrella. You think she'll like that? Now, wait a minute, Captain. For you, to set off that picture of your wife and those three young children, this sterling silver picture frame, and wait a minute, and to play with while you're at sea for those three youngsters, this friendly, 2-month-old, black Cocker Spaniel puppy. And I love that little rascal. Ah, isn't he cute? Okay, Warren, you're next. Thank you, Captain Cunningham.
Larger and larger convoys of merchant ships are going out across the Atlantic and the Pacific carrying vital supplies to our fighting men. And the merchant marine needs thousands more men to man them. If you're a former seaman, go to your local U.S. Employment Service office or to your maritime union, or just wire collect to Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C. If you're inexperienced and want to go to sea, go to the nearest United States Maritime Service office and they'll enroll you for training, just as they did this 17-year-old fellow who's finished that training and is raring to go. From Nyack, New York, steward's mate Douglas Tanner. Doug, you really like boats and water and all that?
Oh, sure. I was always in them, on them, and under them on the Hudson River.
Oh, I see. Well, now, tell us about this boot training that you just finished. How long a course was it?
Oh, it's about 6 weeks, and it's pretty rugged. You're toughing you up anyway.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn?
Well, you learn the main thing is your lifeboats, because out there, your life depends upon them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your firefighting, different types of fires, and the type of fire extinguisher you use down.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Well, then you have your compass. You're supposed to be able to box your compass pretty well in case you're adrift in a lifeboat, and you're pretty well able to navigate yourself around.
What is the hardest part of all the training?
Well, that obstacle course would really shake you down for a couple of days, but then it'd build you up the rest of the time.
Yeah, anything else?
Well, nothing was really actually tough if you buckled down and went to it.
Mm-hmm. When you go to sea, will you go deck or engineering or what?
No, I'm a steward's mate. I'll go out there and cook for them.
Oh. You're a very important fellow aboard ship. I know that. Do you know how to cook?
Well, I'm a little brag, but I'll probably get along.
What do you do best?
Oh, I can bake better than anything else.
Well, what's your specialty, chocolate cake or apple pie or what?
Oh, I'd say chocolate cake.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, I wouldn't say very good, but it's a lot better than my pie.
Are you going to make a career as a cook?
No. I hope to soft soap the chief engineer on my ship by making him a dandy cake sometime and let him give me a chance in the engine room. I'd like to get in there and, well, get his okay on it, let him give me a try, and if I'm okay, get his endorsement and ship out as a wiper and work my way up in the engine room.
Well, very good. We hope you make it, Doug. And we think that you have the right spirit. I think you will, especially if you can bake those cakes right. Roma Seltzer has for you a pair of Mastercraft pipes of fine Algerian briar. They're really king-size. Look at the size of those bowls. Don't let them tip you over. And a heavy brass navy boat clock. It's mounted on mahogany. You like the looks of that?
Oh, brother.
Now, wait a minute. One more thing. To help you in your duties as a cook, here's a picture cookbook that shows you step-by-step how to win friends and influence people during the summer. That's your introduction to your steward's mate, Douglas Tanner.
Fine, Bob. Okay, Warren. There are two sides to every question, and sometimes both sides are right, says Ernest Chappell.
Yes, Fox, I said it, and I'll stick to it. Listen, friends, at the fountain.
Brahma seltzer, please.
Me too, Greg. My headache's from sightseeing.
Drink up.
Not me, not yet. Now then.
Why'd you wait?
Bubble trouble. My makeup, you know. I always give Brahma seltzer a second to settle.
Well, folks, you know, you're both right. You can take Brahma seltzer after it settles down or while it's still fizzing. Two right answers to an important question. How to take Brahma seltzer? But there's just one answer to when. And that's as soon as you feel an ordinary headache coming on. Then's the time for Brahma seltzer. Because Brahma seltzer helps you feel better fast. Not just one way, but three.
Three ways, you say?
Right, three ways. Simple headache is often accompanied by upset feeling and frazzled nerves. Now, Brahma seltzer brings welcome relief to all three. Head, stomach, and nerves. So why use single-acting aids? Enjoy Brahma seltzer's speedy three-way relief from common headache misery. Buy a bottle from your druggist tonight, and then...
Back at the Siemens Church Institute, that big building downtown in New York, which is home, post office, library, employment bureau, clinic, club, and church for merchant seamen of all the world's merchant fleets. Folks, suppose you had not seen or heard from your wife and three little boys for nearly 5 years. And suppose all that time they were in Antwerp under harsh Nazi domination. It would be, well, tough isn't a tough enough word for it. But that's the story of this fine 32-year-old Belgian merchant seaman who's been on American merchant ships since his last Belgian ship was sunk from London back in 1941. We can't use his correct name for good reasons, but you'll know him well when you hear his story. Here he is, our Belgian friend. We'll call him Henry X. Okay, Henry? Henry, when the Nazis came, your three boys were about how old? Seven?
Seven, four, and two.
Uh-huh. Lively?
Yeah, they were very nice.
Full of fun.
Full of fun and very happy.
I see. And then came that blackout of about 4 years and 7 months, I believe I understand.
That's right. 4 years and 7 months since I see them.
When you couldn't know what had happened to them at all, could you?
No, I couldn't.
You couldn't get any messages in? No messages out?
No, not at all.
But a little closer to the microphone. But I imagine that many a night out there on watch on the ocean, you were thinking about them?
Yes, I was thinking about them very, very much.
And your wife, of course.
And my wife and kids, yeah.
And then last September it was, you sailed into Antwerp. You were the first Belgian ashore from the first American ship, American ship that got there.
That's right.
I know what was on your mind, don't I?
Yeah, first thing I was to try to look for my wife.
And you started right away, did you?
I started right away, yeah.
Trouble locating them?
Well, a little bit. First thing I did was look at my grandmother, because she's too old, but I know she never leaves the home.
Uh-huh.
So she's 82 years old, and she knows what street my wife is living.
Yeah.
But she didn't know the number.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So I went over to the street, she said, she told me, and I went to the first home, house, and we didn't know about the Mrs. X. So I went to the second house, and we didn't know about the Mrs. X.
Mm.
So the third house, I went in, and I asked for Mrs. X with three little children. So they said, no, they don't leave a woman here with three little children, only with two little children. So I said, no, it's three. Well, she said, that woman lives here, her husband is at sea, and she works in the Canadian canteen. She called me the street. So I went over there. When I went in there, I meet the Canadian wife, captain or something, lieutenant,
mm-hmm.
and asked her, there was Mrs. So-and-so works there. So she told me that there were so many girls and women working in there, but she will try to locate me if there's a Mrs. X working there.
Try to find her, yeah.
Uh-huh. So while I was standing there, I see a kid coming up out of the shelter. It was my oldest son. He recognized me. He looks at me. He says, oh, here's our papa. Our papa, he says, is coming back. So he runs down to the shelter, and I heard him shouting, Mama, Mama, our papa is back. So I didn't know, I was paralyzed. I ran after, him, and I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I was standing there, and I saw my wife coming up. white like a sheet, shaking all over. And she comes to me slowly. She goes behind me, around me, till she was a couple of feet in front of me. And then she starts crying. Two of me around my neck.
And your arms around her.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. So my second son, when I looked at him, he just looked at me, and I looked at him, and he smiles at me.
Uh-huh.
Just the same like somebody should say, I know that fella from somewhere, but I don't know exactly from where anymore.
It's been so long.
It's a long way to be covered, you know.
And the third son?
The third son is killed from a flying bomb.
A flying bomb. That's why she said the lady with two sons, right?
Yeah, that's why she said there's a lady with two sons. Yeah.
You talked to your wife about the difficulties it had, the food and the clothing?
Yes, I spoke about it.
Was it tough? Yes,
it was very tough. The worst time my wife got was 3 days and three nights without food at all. She went to the German winter help, they call that.
Yeah.
And they said that they tried to help her by let them each on turns, let them eat for 1 day.
Wife eat 1 day, and one child eat the next day, and the third day the other child eat.
That's right.
And the clothes, of course, were all gone.
Yeah, it's all gone. The clothes are all gone. Everything's gone.
Henry, they tell me you've been up and down Fifth Avenue and everywhere shopping madly because you're going back over that way very soon.
That's right. I hope so.
You take a lot of things home?
I hope we have, because it's safe to do all the things you can buy something.
And I hope it isn't long, Henry, until you see that wife and those two boys again. And now, Henry, Roma Seltzer has for you some things for both you and your family. You haven't got one, I know. So here is a 17-jewel Croton Aquamatic Shockproof Self-Winding Wristwatch. I know you'll enjoy wearing that. And for Mrs. X, we've got several things. First is an all-wool coat with a zip-it-in fur lining. Bring it out, babe. You got it? And second, also for your wife, a lovely deep red. How the boys like to listen to that themselves, don't they? Just a minute, fellas. There's some more. A lovely, deep red, all-wool house coat. Look at that, Henry. Won't you love to see her in that? Oh, that is
thank
nice.
You.
And we've got some beautiful pieces of dress materials, enough for several dresses, plus some stuff for the boys' pajamas. And finally, Henry, if you'll allow us, because I heard this story, too, we know that your wife had to sell her wedding ring to get food.
That's right.
We would like Vox Popwood to replace that one that she sold for food with this gold wedding ring. Would you mind taking that back to her? You don't mind?
No, I don't mind. No.
Thank you a lot,
that's
Henry
nice.
X. It's
thank
wonderful
you.
To have you with us. All right, Warren.
It's pleasant to be here tonight because this is where I was launched on Vox Pop almost 3 years ago, so I think it's quite a place. And it is. It's the largest shore home in the world for active merchant seamen of all races and creeds. And it's trained thousands of men for better positions in the merchant marine service. Well, now, here's a man who sailed the seven seas longer than almost any other man you ever knew or ever heard of. I say sailed because he has followed the anchor, as they say, and now resides at Sailor Snug Harbor over on Staten Island. He's a spry, cheerful, even 100, this young salt, William Samuel Clark. You don't mind if I call you Cap, do you, Mr.
Clark?
No,
no. Right. Call us all Cap over there.
Uh-huh. How did you get to be 100?
Well,
well, everybody asks you that, I know, but I want to know the answer.
Well, I don't know. I've never been very much sick. I've been hurt several times, and I've been in the water twice in wrecks,
mm-hmm.
two times.
Well, did your family live to a ripe old age?
Oh, yes. My mother was 3 days less than 105, and her mother was 6 days less than 105.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was about 102.
I see. Why, he didn't live to the age of your mother.
No, because he met in an accident when he was 82 years old out in the Pacific, and his ribs were smashed into his lungs, and that helped us shorten his life. They're both doctors. The county doctor at Boston from Suffolk County and our own doctor said that he would have lived probably longer, only for that accident.
You mean to tell me that he was working? He was out sailing when he was 80?
He was a shipmaster.
Well, you were fortunate in your choice of parents. Did you ever get married, Cap?
Never, and I didn't think it was a very good plan for seafaring men. You might...
Cap, just between us, did you ever have a girl in every port?
Well, once in a while, I have one or two.
Yeah. Used to be a song about that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the first president that you ever voted for?
Lincoln on his second election.
Mm-hmm.
President Lincoln.
Did you ever see him?
Oh, yes. I see him in Faneuil Hall. He was making a speech there. They were thinking of moving the capital to either Philadelphia or Boston when it got dangerous around Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But just about that time, they were deciding to have it at Philadelphia and not at Boston. And the Battle of the Potomac was going on then, but they got driven back by General Longstreet and McClellan. So then they didn't move the capital from Washington to Philadelphia even.
So you've seen a lot of this country and a lot of history. Do you think the country is going to the dogs now?
Oh, no. I'm sorry to see so many young men being wounded and dying for the help of the country to save it. And I believe they will save it. Eventually, I think it'll turn out all right. But, of course, we must expect, while we're at war, to lose lives. And lots of wounded ones will come home from this war. I can see it. I know it. And a Frenchman, during the other war, I told that Frenchman, he was from Villefranche in France, if any of you see him and ever been there. It's a great sporting place. And I told him that he met me afterward, some years afterward, and he said, I hit the nail on the head to what I said about the other world war.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to come out all right, you think, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Well, Cap...
I told him we would on the other world war.
For sure. Well, I hope we know you are this time. And, Cap, it's a great honor for you to be with us tonight and visit with us. And Roma Seltzer wants you to have a couple of gifts to remember us by. First, this beautiful 15-jewel open-faced watch with a heavy chain.
Well, that'll be fine.
Handy. And also, we're setting up a little drawing account, you might say, for you with the treasurer over at Snug Harbor to keep you in smokes and things and so you can treat your cronies. And to keep you company, here is a century plant. And may you live long after it blooms, Cap. Thank you very much. William Daniel Clark.
Here again with some sound advice is Ernest Chappell.
Friends, ordinary headache may be accompanied by unsettled feeling and jumpy nerves, making you feel badly three ways. So try Bromo Seltzer and feel better three ways. Quickly, Bromo Seltzer acts to help relieve tormenting headache pain, help calm ruffled nerves, and settle upset stomach.
You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles down or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But don't let common headache cut down your efficiency at work, cut into your pleasure at play. Enjoy Bromo Seltzer's three-way relief. Now, Bromo Seltzer is a product of the Emerson Drug Company. Your druggist has it in four popular sizes. Buy a bottle of Bromo Seltzer tonight and climb aboard our talking train.
Fight headaches in three-way.
Bromo Seltzer, and now more from Seaman's Church Institute, where over 300,000 lodgings were provided for merchant seamen last year, and whose school has trained tens of thousands of seamen for better jobs in the years that have passed. You know, General Eisenhower said, when final victory is ours, there's no organization that will share its credit more deservedly than the Merchant Marine. And here's a young merchant marine officer, typical of the patriotic Americans from all walks of life who heard and answered the call. Men who are fitting themselves during this wartime to carry on our merchant marine in peace. He's a graduate of the Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point, Long Island, and he's a veteran of two rather important voyages and one serious sinking. Folks from the Bronx in New York, Lieutenant J.G. Herman Rosen. Herman, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Clark.
You're not married, Herman?
No, I'm single.
Were you training the head of the ward to be in the Navy, or what were you doing?
No, I was at the University of Missouri School of Journalism.
Oh, that Missouri School of Journalism. That's a wonderful outfit. We've run into a lot of fellows from there, and they're always on the ball, too. How long have you been in uniform or at sea?
I've been at sea 3 years now.
3 years. You got out of the academy, and then you took a trip. This stripe and a half that you wear, JG, what would that rate aboard ship? I mean, in mates and so on.
That's second mate.
And what were you? What did you operate as on your last trip?
I was the navigator aboard my ship.
Navigator?
Yes.
What watch did you stand?
The 12 to 4.
12 to 4? Well, is that the second mate's watch?
That's the graveyard watch.
The graveyard, huh? Say, Henry, when you were out there, you're the boss at that time, aren't you?
And you're the boss on the deck.
Uh-huh. You in convoy, perhaps, sometime?
Well, more often than not, you're in convoy.
Yeah, and during any of those watches you had there, did anything exciting happen at any time?
Well, things exciting generally happen at sea these days.
Yes? You remember anything particular?
Well, we were in convoy several times when we saw ships knocked off on either side.
Any time when you didn't quite know what was next?
Well, it was once on my watch, a ship right astern of us. Got hit right in the engine room.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
Well, for a while I was at a loss. I didn't know what to do first. There was so much to do.
What did you do?
Well, I called the skipper.
How'd you call him? Send him a message, ring a bell, or what?
No, it was just fortunate that I was standing right above his stateroom. And we used a primitive method. I just jumped up and down right over his head.
And you got him in a hurry. And things turned out all right, didn't they? Say, you were sunk, I know, down in the South Atlantic at one time, weren't you?
No, that was in the Indian Ocean.
In the Indian Ocean. How many of you were saved?
There were 5 saved out of 24.
24 in the boat, and only 5 of you got out?
That's right.
How long were you at sea? I mean, in that boat?
I was in that lifeboat 30 days.
30 days. And after you finish your merchant marine career, what are you going to do?
Well, I'd like to get back into journalism, if I may.
In this country?
Yes. Or perhaps go back to South Africa.
Oh, there was a nice town there, wasn't
there? There was.
Henry, I wish we could talk a little more, but we've got another man to follow you right away, also from the Merchant Marine Academy, I think. So right now, from good old Bomo Seltzer to you, to while away an evening, delightfully, here are 2 tickets to Michael Todd's new musical up in Central Park, which opens here next week. And then the one thing that every navigating officer and skipper wants for his own. I'm not qualified to describe it, so I'm going to ask them to bring out this mahogany box, and you tell me what it is. What is it, Henry?
That's a beautiful sextant.
A what?
A sextant.
What? Just tell me a little bit more about it. Is it any good?
Well, it's a marvelous instrument. It's used for celestial observation.
Can you use it, Henry?
I sure can.
Thank you a lot, Lieutenant Henry Rosen. Okay, Warren.
Very sorry that time is practically up. There's just time to say that Ensign Paul Patrick Foster was standing by, and we do have some fine gifts for him, a flight bag, a genuine B-4, than which there is no witcher, and he's expecting a little one soon, so there's a complete surety layette with everything that a Stork's passenger will need for Ensign Paul Patrick Foster. Parks, I guess it's...
Yes, and by the way, Paul also is from the Merchant Marine, wasn't he? Paul, I wish we had time for you, old fellow, but we'll get you next time. Folks, during the past 2 years, we've all become more and more aware of the tremendous importance of our Merchant Marine. We need more of them, and we need them now.
That's right, Parks. But next week, Fox Pop travels to one of the top military schools in the country, and 102 years old it is, too. It's the Citadel of Charleston, South Carolina. Was President General Charles F. Summerall was Chief of Staff of the United States Army when he retired some years ago.
I'm going to enjoy going back down there, too. We know the Citadel Cadets. Oh, that's tough one. They're going to thrill you, as it did when Vox Pop visited them back in 1942. So, folks, if you want to tune in on a lively program, join Vox Pop next Monday night at the Citadel. Good night, folks.
And you better practice up on that Citadel Cadet part. So long, everybody.
Okay. Bring him up here and show him the
gift. Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday at same time, same station, when Fox and Warren visit the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina. And friends, your family's health and comfort are vitally dependent on your neighborhood druggist. In war as in peace, he is at your service. But these days he faces unusual problems, shortage of manpower, shortage of merchandise. Let's be patient. Let's all pull together. You know, your cooperation will best help your druggist to help you. And remember,
fight headaches three ways.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.